afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me today from the producer's chair, as always, is Kyle.
Hey.
How are you doing, Kyle?
I'm good.
Good. You're rocking a what kind of, it's a parody of a Dawn of the Dead t-shirt.
Yeah, it's a Ninja Turtles one.
It's a Dawn of the Shred.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's awesome. that lovely lady who laughed, that's our guest tonight.
It is.
This is a lady, and she's a lovely lady, and she's got a big resume, and she's got a great podcast, and her name is, and she's never not funny favorite. Her name is Janet Varney. Hello, Janet.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
We are good. It's going good. How are you doing?
So far, so good. I think minute 1.26 has been
you watching the time
so far.
You watching the time. Let me know.
I can't take my eyes off.
Let me know at what point you want to bail.
Great. For me, it's usually about. No, I think I'll make it to minute 7.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
What are you up to now? You just finished Sketchfest. Ended. You are a founder of the San Francisco Sketchfest.
Yeah, with Cole Stratton and Dave Owen. David Owen, I should say.
He doesn't.
He wants to be more formal with the listeners. He doesn't know. Then my person. Listen, I've earned the right to call him Dave. You have no business calling him Dave. So don't do it.
I call him Mister.
You should.
Mister Owen.
You should.
What year is this? Was this
14?
14.
Isn't that nuts? And we missed having you. I know Jimmy had like things Jimmy every weekend of the festival, and it's just like a weird feeling knowing that you weren't up there that year.
We kind of hope that next year, then that'll be people will be even more excited.
Sure, that's true. I mean, I know that he does that with the podcastathon too. It's like you know, it's fun to have people who are like, you missed them last year.
Yeah,
please
we missed you on podcastathon this year.
I know.
Where were you? What were you doing?
I went to Arizona to see my mom.
Okay.
I don't usually do that around Thanksgiving, but I felt the pull. I felt like she needed me.
Well, that's the difficult thing about podcastathon is it's the day after Thanksgiving. It seems like a great day for it, but then a lot of people are out of town.
Yeah. It's really, you can tell the people who don't love their families by who does podcastathon.
Oh, absolutely. Pardo.
Yep.
Francis.
Yep.
Belknap.
Copy.
So when you did the first year you did Sketchfest, how many days, how many shows?
Well, it was a full month, but it was like a run at a theater that we rented, a small theater, and we did it because there weren't that many places to perform in San Francisco, and we were doing sets on like stand-up shows, and people did not know what to do about that because we were like a legit sketch group in the sense that we were wearing like wigs and costumes and stuff. And so we ended up asking 5 other sketch groups that we knew if they would be willing to trust us and sort of pony up with us to rent a theater for a month. And then we would take care of like programming it so that every group had a chance to go with the other group at least once, usually twice. So we could kind of expose our audiences to each other and all that. And so we called it a festival and we got a ton of press and sold out all our shows. And that's really how it began. It was very much from the beginning, let's just scrape together this first thing. Mm-hmm. Then the next year we took a few more chances and the next year and next year. And
now you guys like take over the city.
It's crazy. It's pretty crazy.
I mean, the celebrities that have been part of this thing are amazing. I remember it might have been the first or second year that we did it. When was the first year we did it when we were in the comedy club? Was that the first time we did it?
Could be. I mean, you've definitely done it years and years. I mean, I feel like you did. You came in maybe halfway through.
Yeah.
Maybe earlier because I met Jimmy pretty early after I moved down here. And I think that was around year 4 or something.
Well, all I can remember is we were at Cobb's Comedy Club.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the green room. Just me and Matt. I don't know where Jimmy was. And we're sitting there and we're looking around and like, all these people were there, like Robin Williams, and all these people were in this green room, and Matt and I were just like, we're not supposed to be in this room. Why are we in this room? And we just like could not believe it. We just sat there like kids. I'm like, oh my God, there's this person in that. It was crazy and so much fun.
I'm so glad to hear it. Well, we love having you guys, and that's one of the cool things I think about the festival is we bring in people who are just up and coming, you know, college age kids, and we bring in idols of those college kids, and we have parties where everyone gets to hang out. And, you know, I think it's a really good way to mingle with the comedy community, and it doesn't feel like there's a hierarchy, really.
No. And I mean, you comedic icons come into this thing now.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, we had lunch at a Chinese restaurant with John Hamm the first year. We're like, what is going on? This is crazy. And then we said, he's going to pay this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
No, he didn't. We split it.
Really?
We split it.
You know what? That's classy.
Yeah.
No, wait. The other thing would have been whatever.
So what is going on with Janet right now?
What's going on with me right now is, I kind of bounced back from Sketchfest. Mm-hmm. I've been doing some voiceover for some other stuff since Cora's over. I am getting ready to do a ton of traveling, including stops at some like Comic-Con type places, which I'm excited about. Mm-hmm. Like this weekend I'll be... Well, I don't know when this airs, but
airs tomorrow.
Oh, okay, that's right. You do fast turnaround. So this weekend I'll be at South by Southwest, and then the week after that I'm going to be up in San Francisco with my staff for Sketchfest. And the week after that, I'm at the Seattle Comic Con for Cora stuff. And then I think after that I go to Florida, then Austin again. I'm doing a lot of traveling, getting ready to do a lot.
And
traveling.
So is Cora like the longest gig you've had, or the...
Well, Dinner and a Movie is the longest gig I've had because I was 7 years.
I was kind of thinking of something that would really put you out there in the public. That's kind of what I was
something
thinking.
Something that wasn't as shameful as working with Paul Gilmartin.
No, of course. Yes, our good friend Paul Gilmartin.
No, but that's definitely the most high profile.
Right, that's what I meant to say.
For sure. And I've told the story before. It's not really even a story, but the...
You've never told it on here before.
But I have never told it on here.
All right, good.
It's not really a story either. It's very quick. But the casting director, when I got the job...
I'm so tired of the story.
Jesus, I'm sorry. I'll find a way to condense it. And the end of it is she said, "Are you ready for your life to change?" And I said, come on now. And it really did. You know, I do stuff now that I, all these conventions and stuff, I never had done anything like that before. And now I really love doing it. I love meeting the fans. I love seeing what they're like, that when they cosplay our characters, all of that stuff. And the fan art is crazy awesome.
I know. It's really cool.
It's really amazing.
And so how long, because I know like some people eventually get tired of doing those things. Do you think you'll ever get tired of those? Like in 10 years, if they go, "Hey, we're going to have a Cora panel and everyone's going to be there."
I think I would do it, especially if it's something like everyone's going to be there, because I love the people that I worked with.
And who all tell the other people who were in the cast?
Let's hear them. My gosh. Well, Oscar winner J.K. Simmons, Maria Bamford, David Faustino, P.J. Byrne, Seychelle Gabriel. There are so many people, even just people who came in and did a couple things that I was like so starstruck. Clancy Brown was like amazing.
Clancy Brown's the best.
Gary Cole did something. John Heder did something. Anne Heche was in it. Like it was just over the 4 years, it was this like rotating door of like, I love that person. Good job, guys.
did you audition for this job?
I did. Yeah.
How many was it? Was it a long audition or was it? Did they know pretty quickly that they wanted you?
I think it was kind of a long process. I mean, I think especially, I don't really understand what happens behind the scenes with animation, but that is definitely an example of a job that you audition for and then you truly have forgotten all about it because it's been like 3 months. I mean, it's not a thing. Sometimes, you know, a lot of the time in showbiz, something turns around really quickly. Yeah. Like this podcast episode.
Yeah, this is the only... Normally we record... I just want to tell you, normally we record these things weeks in advance. But the only reason that we're turning it around quickly is because this past Tuesday, Legend of Korra Book 4 Balance was released on Blu-ray and DVD. Perfect. And I have 4 Blu-ray copies that Janet signed. There's posters in each. She signed the poster and she signed the, what do you call it, the inlay of the Blu-ray booklet. Mm-hmm. Help me out, Kyle.
Inset, maybe?
Inset. Right.
Inlay is a wood term, a woodworking term. I think Google
you learned that from Paul Gilmartin.
Boy, did I.
So I interrupted you. You're telling your story about...
I don't remember what I was saying.
We were talking about your audition, the process.
Yeah, so they had, you know, I did it and then I didn't hear anything for such a long time. I assumed it had gone away. And then I came in for like another series of them. And I think even again, maybe I thought it had gone away. Mm-hmm. And then I came in and did, you know, sort of a mix and match with some other people that they were considering for all of the main roles. And and then I ended up getting it and I couldn't believe my luck.
And how much voiceover work had you done prior to this? Because you're the lead in this. You're Cora.
Yeah, I hadn't done that much. I mean, I really had.
Were you nervous then about this?
Yes.
I would say
so. Oh, my
so.
God. The whole first year, I was like, they're going to fire me. It's not too late for them to replace me. It's not too late.
Because that's the thing in voiceover. They could, they can do that.
Yeah.
I mean.
No one's, because they got to go back and animate it. So no one's going to yeah. see any of, like, the majority of the first book.
Right.
No one would see as it was being created.
Right.
They could have just, like, subbed in someone else. Yeah, I was really scared.
So when did you start to feel comfortable?
I think maybe when the first episode started airing. Mm-hmm. And even then, I was like, listen, if it gets a bad response, they probably could still sub someone else in who kind of...
Yeah.
They could come up with some plot reason the voice yeah. changes. Yeah.
Well, you did a great job because when I watch it, I forget, you know, I forget that it's Jan and Varney. I forget that it's you doing it.
Well, thanks, Pat. I think that I would say that the credit really there goes to the writing because I do the same thing and I'm very sure. I mean, I recorded them, so
yeah.
it is me. But I think the storytelling is so amazing that I forget. And then the weird thing that happens is that I'm such a huge fan of the show. I'll watch it. And then if I've been watching it quietly and then I open my mouth and I talk, I know it sounds dumb, but I honestly feel a little weird. Like, I feel like, ugh, I feel like I'm impersonating Cora. It's weird.
Let me ask you a couple more quick, because I don't know a lot about voiceover.
Sure.
How do you do the whole episode? How many?
Well, like, usually we just do one episode at a time, mm-hmm. and then you have to go back in. Usually it's like the process of just getting one episode complete would be that you would record the episode. Mm-hmm. Then you might come in for some new lines
yeah.
as they were in the middle of animating it. Like, oh, we realized we needed to add this, you know, this piece of exposition or whatever. And then when the episode's almost ready, then you come in and do ADR and you sort of do the fight sounds and stuff. You wouldn't do any, you know, like grunts or kicks
yeah.
or anything like that until you were matching it to picture.
And so it's voiceover first and then they animate it.
Mm-hmm. And that's not always the case,
right.
but with this show it was.
And what was the turnaround? You record it and then when was
oh
the episode
God.
Ready
the
to go?
The first season, I swear, it was like a very full year, if not longer.
Yeah.
And then... The only thing that turned around faster was, I think, book four did turn around faster. Mm-hmm. But in general, yeah, I mean, but it's cool, you know, because
yeah.
you do it. And even when we recorded the last episode of book four, there were a lot of these seminal moments. It was like, well, that's the last original episode you're going to record for book four. But then you come in and it's
yeah.
like, well, this is the last added line you're going to record for book four. Well, this is the last ADR you're going to do for book four. And then it hadn't aired yet. So it's kind of a soft landing mm-hmm. in terms of like getting used to the idea of something ending. And I always knew, I mean, from the very beginning, it was always going to be four books. Like
mm-hmm.
that's exactly what they wanted to
right.
do. And assuming that we got picked up for all four.
Right.
And so they had their sort of arcs and so I knew that it was going to be over in a way that sometimes you don't have the luxury of knowing if you're doing a TV show. You know, you're
yeah.
like hoping it gets picked up
right.
every year. But
they would have, no matter what would happen, they would have had to wrap it up with something. Like they
right.
couldn't have just aired one season and then
yeah.
canceled it without
yeah,
wrapping
they would have
it up.
Had, yeah, you're right. They would have had to figure something out for sure.
Well, I'm glad it went four seasons.
Me too. Oh my gosh.
Were you in the? Was the entire cast there when you were recording it?
As many people as possible, depending on schedule. They do really believe, Nickelodeon and Andrea Romano, who's an amazing VO director, they really believe in having as many people to actually interact with as possible because they think that it gives a more kind of organic
yeah.
performance, and I think they're right. So it would just be whoever you have scenes with, if it's a, you know, there were people, like I didn't get to record every single time with JK because he's
yeah.
so busy. But
well,
he
teaches music.
He's a music teacher.
Yeah.
He is real rough around the edges on those kids.
I'm telling you.
He's a pussycat when he's in the studio.
He wasn't like that
yeah.
with you? Like he didn't say pick
Oh, yeah. You know who else was in it? Of course, was Henry Rollins. Sorry, when I was thinking about who did the show. No,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Sorry, I just jumped ahead and
Henry
realized that
Henry Rollins from Black Flag.
That's right.
And is he a nice guy?
Oh, the nicest. He's so nice and he's so warm, but he still looks like Henry Rollins.
Yeah.
You're still scared of him no matter what.
Right.
And he's so sweet and quiet and really, you know, really took the job very mm-hmm. seriously. And, you know, he cared so much about the show and about the character. But I did record with him almost every episode we both had. I recorded
what
with
if
him.
He didn't take it seriously? What if he just, whatever.
Just came in and was like, yeah. Oh, that would be really terrible, but also no one would feel like they could say anything because he's Henry Rollins.
What if he didn't even call you Corey? He just said, okay, Carrie. And it's Cora. All right.
Carrie.
Fix it in post.
Yeah, just get somebody that kind of sounds like him.
The voice director,
Andrea Romano.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kyle and I know her because we're a big fan of these DC Direct movies.
Oh,
and she does,
okay.
Well, she does all that stuff. And she's always in the special features. So
yeah.
I know exactly what
she
looks like.
She's so great.
And she's amazing.
Yeah, she really is.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that much about voiceover and because I hadn't been doing it very long, mm-hmm. I would watch her process in the room. And she's just so good at what she does that she, it's that thing where you watch someone be so good at what they do that
right.
you're like, do I want to do that for a living? And so I said that one day. I was like, God, I mean, listen, depending on what happens when my career just dries up,
yeah.
you know, that sounds insulting. But I mean, I really was like, you make me want to be a vocal director because you're so good at it. And she was like, oh, honey, you don't want to do this. Like, sure, she has to get up at like 4 a.m. I mean, it's a very rigorous
yeah.
thing she has to do. But she's so good at it.
What kind of direction does she give you?
Well, it's funny because it's just so different than on-camera direction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she has to be like a really effective liaison between sometimes creators. I mean, Mike and Brian were amazing mm-hmm. and they could give feedback as well. But sometimes, like, you know, a show's creator doesn't know how to say what they want or how to,
yeah.
and it comes out really like curt and mean. And you know what I mean? There's just like, so there,
right.
being that liaison is so important. You know, you actually see her like, a take gets finished and you know you see the you can't hear what's going on
yeah.
they're looking at each other, they're talking, and then she'll come back on and be like, why don't you try one, like, and for all we know that, you know, the show creator could have been like, okay, that was garbage,
right.
And so the so her way of like, she, and also you have to be I don't want to say concise, but like it is a process in which you have a very limited mm-hmm. amount of time, so you have to be able to get exactly what you want. So she can be very concise in what she asks
yeah.
for, and it could come off as like hurt from someone else.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to really know how to say, you sounded too sad in that one, or I heard your teeth clicking together in a way that doesn't freak
and,
out the other.
And by the way,
recording.
Could you kind of
know,
stop
I've,
clicking
I
your
just
teeth
have
together?
Such clicky teeth. I really apologize.
How great would it be if one day they're like, "We're gonna fuck with Janet today." After her first take, I'm going to throw papers all around. Like, you look in the booth and you just see them hammering and throwing papers around. And I don't want it. Just cut.
Oh, God.
I don't want it.
I would have wept.
They do a slash mark across their
yeah.
throat. I don't
yeah,
want
Yeah, I know what that means. I know what
then
that
they
means.
Come back on and go, that was great.
Yeah. Fantastic.
That would have been a good prank. I never did.
So tonight at dinner, I asked my daughters if they had any questions.
Oh,
any
great.
Core questions.
Great.
So my 10-year-old Rita, she wanted to know what it's like when you're doing the fight noises.
Oh, great question, Rita. Really
yeah.
great question. First of all, hello. I think your mom is wonderful, and I don't know how you put up with your dad.
She'll never hear this.
Alrighty.
this is explicit.
Well, fuck that then. That felt really forced.
I know.
But
and your teeth clicked when
and
you did it.
My teeth clicked. Yeah.
There's a click fuck.
There's a click fuck. Straight up. OG. It's kind of funny and silly mm-hmm. and embarrassing. Like, for sure, there are people probably who can do sounds like that without mm-hmm. doing the gestures, but there are many of us who kind of need to do some version
oh,
of
so
the
you're
gesture.
Like punching fists and kicking a little
yes.
bit?
Yes. Like, what? I'm trying to think if I've ever made a punch sound, mm-hmm. honestly.
Have you
ever
punched,
it,
have you ever punched someone?
Yes.
Like, so you had something to draw from?
No.
No, you never did.
I was in a blackout state of fury in my 20s when I punched someone, so I have no memory of what
oh, okay.
that was.
Okay.
But like, I don't know if I've ever just gone like, ha! Like, I feel like every time the fist comes out, I don't know.
Do you feel stupid when you're in there
yes.
throwing your fists and you're doing the noise?
I feel stupid, but I feel gleefully stupid. Like, I enjoy how stupid I feel because there is a sense of, I think, well, for a lot of voiceover artists, there's a sense of, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this. And so, you know what I mean? We're just kids. And so having those moments where I have, you know, no dignity, mm-hmm. but also feel like, this is awesome. I can't believe I'm... And also, nothing that I'm doing is in any way threatening the way that Cora and her power are.
You know what? Throw a punch. Let me hear it. Let's do one.
Ha!
That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Then did the director ever say, okay, now we're going to pretend like we're having a pillow fight?
No. Not for that show.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Cora,
I don't even know
Cora After
line.
Dark.
That's right. That's funny. That's the second time that those exact words have been said recently.
Cora After Dark?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Because I did Jordan Jesse Go, and they were saying that Jesse knows nothing about the show, and so he was very snide about it in a charming way, and is like, oh, well, I'll see you at CoraCon. And I was like, there's no such thing as that.
Did he also call it a
but
cartoon?
But then he said, oh, yeah.
Your little cartoon?
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. And then, no, I think his words were, that cartoon you're on, that name I can't remember. And then he got there, got to it being Cora, and then he said, "Yeah, you." You there was some joke that was made like Cora, about Cora After Dark at the Comic Con. Isn't that funny? Yeah.
So you're telling me Jesse Thorne didn't refer to it as Legend of Cora Book 4 Balance?
Absolutely not.
All right.
And I thank you very much.
Before we get into our topic tonight, I do want to thank Ryan Turin and Ellie Labello. I hope I said your names right. They're the ones that sent the Blu-rays along.
Thanks, Ryan and
to
Ellie.
Give away to the listeners. And I'll come up with some question and I'll tweet that on Friday. And then first cool. four people.
And
who,
so Rita was the only one who had a question, huh?
She was the only one who had a question. My oldest daughter, right when the last episode of the fourth season ended, she had tons of questions for you. She goes, "Could I ask that Janet questions about Cora?" I go, "Yeah, send them to me. I'll email them to her. And if she has time, she'll answer them." And then I don't know what the questions were, but now it's going out of her head.
Well, she moved on to something else. She's moved on to something. Young person will.
She's, you know, watching some other dumb cartoon.
Thanks, Jesse.
So before we get into the topic tonight, which the topic tonight is, I came up with this.
That was great. It's
this
a great
is
topic.
Earth, water, air, fire.
Yeah.
And why did I pick that, Janet?
Because that's each of the four elements in Korra and the Airbender universe.
And what can the Airbenders do with those elements?
Well, the Avatar, which mm-hmm. is my character, can do everything to really manipulate them so mm-hmm. that you can use them for good or ill. And then there are other benders that just have one of those powers, like that wouldn't have all four.
Okay.
So the person that has all of them has this sort of responsibility.
Oh, wait, who's this talking?
Yeah, no, I was going to say,
for your question, what can the airbender do? He can only do air.
That's right.
Or she can only do
okay.
air.
That is the correct answer to that question. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But the Avatar can do all four.
Yeah.
So when we get into the topic, Janet and I are going to play our favorite songs that either have earth, water, air, or fire
That's
in them.
That's great. It was great. I got real scared, and then I realized I could just do a word search in
yeah,
my own iTunes library, and I felt like an idiot.
The first time Mike Siegel co-hosted with me, he's one of my rotating co-hosts, he was like, "I don't know if I can find songs that have the word blue in." I'm like, yeah. You can type it in yeah. the window and yeah. push.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who yeah. thought that.
It's a piece of cake now.
No.
But before, we're actually going to do a new segment tonight.
Oh, great.
That we've never done before.
Exciting.
This is called something called First Listen.
Okay.
Now, a lot of times I write reviews for a website called Pop Culture Beast, and I'll get CDs in the mail of bands I've never even heard of before. And so I got this one in the mail. It's a group called The Shams.
Great, great name.
And the album is called One and All.
Great.
And we've loaded this in the iTunes. I've never heard it. Kyle's never heard it. Janet's never heard it.
Correct.
So let's play that. Let's listen to the first, little bit of the first song. And it's called Sunset Patties.
Okay. P-A-D-D. Sunset Patties. Got
Sunset
it.
Patties. These guys sound like they might be Irish.
There is no way they're American.
No, they're not.
I'm guessing Shams is like Shamrock or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you think?
Good detective work. You
know what?
Work.
Look at you. And this is Patties, Sunset Patties.
Like,
so yeah. We didn't get to the chorus on that, but it was. Yeah, I'm just on that. What did you think, Janet? Be honest.
I thought it sounded. Here's the problem: is that when I hear a brogue like mm-hmm. that, when I hear
yeah.
that accent,
yeah.
I want it to be a messier take. I want a messier sound, and that was very slick.
Right. You want like some mosh pitting.
Yeah.
You want something like the Pogues.
Well, yeah. I mean, I just want to hear like I thought the actual production of that was very slick, and mm-hmm. I want it to sound like raw, like we're all playing together in this garage. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that was my first feeling about it.
I have to call foul on the Shams themselves.
Why? Why is that?
Because I went
Shams?
To look it up.
Yeah, are they Shams?
Yeah.
They're not.
I went to look it up, and the Shams were an all-female New York folk pop trio in the 80s and early 90s.
Well, now they've had sex change operation and added two members, because this is five dudes. Okay, well, look, we can't judge the whole thing by one song, so let's, what do you want to hear next? Let's hear this track three called Not Bothered. Let's hear what this is like. Still a little slick production. Maybe it's going to go crazy. I know exactly what you mean, though. You want it to be a little rough around the edges.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all shaking our heads no. Okay, Shams, we're going to give you one. We're going to give you one more. We're going to give you one more try.
The title track.
Yeah, what is the title track? One and All. I like this one that says "Sick to Death" because right now I'm sick to death of this band. Let's hear "Sick to Death." A little better.
Yeah, this is much better. On the way, heard of every story, every tale that can be heard. How this garden, how it fell in love.
Sick to death of everyone I met. That's the best of the three we've heard.
The best of the three, by far.
All right.
This might be like one of the obligatory like old Irish songs that they redo or something.
Oh, you think that maybe.
Well,
like,
all I can say is it's still.
It's the best.
All right. Well, here, I'm going to tell you something. The first person that emails me tomorrow.
A picture of their garbage can.
First person that emails me at rocksolidpodcast@gmail.com and just says, I want that Sham CD, we'll get this Sham CD. So that's great. What we'll do. So
that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. Was it?
I like listening to new music for sure. I do feel like I wonder... This is like a real old person conversation.
Yeah.
But I do feel like I wonder if because everything is so like bite-sized and snappy and like I it makes me think to myself, and maybe you've talked about this on the podcast before, but it makes me think to myself, like, what would I not have responded to when, you know what I mean, if I had the access to iTunes and just one song. I just don't know what stuff I loved then, if I still would have loved it. I might not have given it the same kind of chance that I did then.
Music is tough now. It's really... It's hard to find new stuff. It's hard to really invest the time.
And not because, but, you know, but because there's so much and there's a lot of great stuff out there. But yeah, it's hard to know.
You can like,
it's good to have like a couple good buddies that take the time that you can just say, you know what I like, what do I like?
And then they go, here, I made you mix.
Yeah.
Made you mix CD.
You know who's that person for me? Cole Stratton.
Cole Stratton makes you mix CD? Mm-hmm. Look at that dude.
Yeah. Or he'll just bring over a pile of CDs and say.
That guy's your best friend,
let's
right?
Let's pirate these.
Is he your best friend?
He's one of my very best friends, for sure.
Not number one, though.
I don't have a best friend, Pat.
That's
I really
a shame.
Don't.
Well,
I don't know that it's a shame. I feel I don't need one.
I think she's just politely trying to say that you're not her friend.
I have a lot of friends, Pat. A lot of friends.
Let me ask you, who's your favorite artist? If you have one go-to music artist, who is it?
Ugh. Does anyone have one answer?
I do.
What's yours? Don't say...
It's Cheap Trick is my favorite band.
Okay, all right.
But I don't always go to them.
I was going
to
say Billy Squire for you.
Well, I do like Billy Squire.
I know you do. My one person. I don't have one best friend and I don't have one best band.
Who is the last?
Cole is my, sure.
Cole Stratton might be my favorite musician.
Sure, Cole Stratton's my best friend. He's also a very good singer.
What was the last CD you put in your car? The last song you listened to? What if you said you don't like music? That would be fantastic.
Well,
I don't really like music.
But I'll say this. What I tried to do when you asked me to do this is I really tried to, even if it wasn't my favorite song of a band, I definitely tried to represent with my options.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, I definitely have to use the song because I love this band so much that I want to talk about it.
All right, cool.
So there's plenty of meat in the mix I made.
All right, well, let's get into it, and we'll play it now. Do you know your list of songs, or do you need to see it? I might need to see it.
I mean, I don't know.
You can call out what you want to hear first.
Oh, I'm in charge. Well, I guess I put them in on the thing. I think okay. When I loaded it into my own iTunes, I did it in order of the elements that are announced. It's like earth, fire, air, water. I could be wrong about the order, but
that's fine.
Of the show.
You can play whatever you want, but you can play an earth song, then I'll play an earth song.
I don't remember. Yeah. It doesn't really matter to me. Do you want to lead it? And then I'll.
Do you want me to start out with some cheese?
Sure.
This isn't really cheese. Let's go from it. Then this is going
to
go.
Also, I tried to pick songs I didn't think you would pick.
Okay. I think you'll be surprised at some songs I pick sometimes.
All right.
This goes way back.
I can safely say you didn't pick any of the same.
No. Trust me. That's what I like. I like when someone's playing new stuff and someone's playing old stuff.
Yeah.
That's why when April Richardson's on, it's like, I don't even, the stuff she plays, I've never heard before.
Yeah.
She probably loves the Shams.
She probably does. Dude, that's my jam.
I love the Shams.
I hung out with those guys.
Great.
The drummer slept on my couch for like 3 weeks. Okay.
You know, she's one of my best friends. Maybe my best friend.
Well, she's a co-host here on Rock Solid.
I know she is.
This one's going to go way back to 1971.
Okay.
This is a classic track by a lovely lady named Carole King.
Almost picked it. Knew you would. Didn't pick it.
I Feel the Earth Move.
When I see your face, mellow as the month of May. Oh, darling, I can't stand it when you look at me that way. Hey, I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down. I feel my heart start to tremble in whenever you're around.
Love it. I love Carole King.
And I'm going to say you weren't even born when that song came out.
I wasn't, but I do love Carole King. And of course, that was the first song that came to my mind, maybe even just within the whole list, like without having to sort of search. But I was like, I know Pat's going to pick that.
It's a perfect chorus song, too, because I feel the earth move.
I know.
Perfect.
I know. It's a perfect example.
So you're going to go, you got an earth song for me now?
Yeah, can I look at my list really quickly?
What if you...
I tried to put two on of everything, or three.
What if you didn't understand the topic and you only brought songs by Earth, Wind, and Fire?
You would have had to just work with it, I guess. You know what? Just put Gone to Earth on there because that is a band that I'm only just getting to know. It's the American Analog set.
Yeah.
But it's a nice song. So I have the least to offer about it.
Okay,
other
and
than
who's,
to
the,
say
who's the artist?
Recently, American Analog set.
I don't even know if that's even a real thing.
And the song is called Gone to Earth.
Okay.
That doesn't sound right.
No, that doesn't sound right at all. Oh, that's better.
There you go.
A dude singing?
Yeah, I think so. I really don't know much about this band. But when I you're welcome, Google. When I did a search on my iTunes,
when I Googled it?
Well, I mean, I didn't because it was in my own iTunes library, so it's not like I was utilizing Google. But when I checked my own library to see what songs I had that had the word earth in them, I didn't have that many. I think I had three.
That's not a lot.
I know. That was one. then I have the other one that I brought. And then the other one that I had was by one of the same people. Well, I guess I'll just explain it when we get to it. But anyway, point being, I felt like I needed to bring in something different. And that is a band that I really only know a couple of their songs. But I like them. They got a good groove.
I have 35 Earth songs.
You do?
I have 35.
Can we do a new segment where we name a number and then you tell us if it's a lot or not a lot?
Let's try it.
4.
That's not a lot.
It's a good segment.
104.
That's pretty good.
Oh my gosh. 35 seems like a whole lot.
I know, 35 doesn't.
Just throw some out at me.
Okay, let me go back.
Sorry, but I'm so curious.
You know what I typed in the search window?
Because I don't even think...
You know
think
what I just
lot,
typed? No, I typed in 35.
That's a classic Pat Francis.
That's so
I wish Jimmy Pardo were here. You know what? Let me channel him. Idiot.
I don't really.
That was
amazing,
good.
Amazing.
No, it's not telling. Okay, let me.
That's just a lot because I did Google. Thank you, Google. Just on the internet, songs with Earth in them, and I still didn't come up with very much.
Got about 5,
right?
Well, now it's I don't know what it's doing now. But
you know what? That's not a lot.
A lot.
Now it's saying that no, that just this doesn't make sense.
Maybe saying I don't
maybe,
have any songs.
No, because maybe you have Earth, Wind, and Fire in there.
Okay, here we go. So I've got a song called "Last Man on Earth" by Alice Cooper.
Okay.
Got a song called Heaven on Earth by Boston. Uh-huh. I've got a song called The Greatest Love on Earth by Chicago.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a good
I've got Earth Mofo by The Cult.
You might have That's three good. Good Earth songs.
I know. What if it has the word like Earth, like because this will bring up like if it has Earthlings.
Technically it still contains the word.
A song by Genesis called In That Quiet Earth.
Uh-oh, I would probably like that. I love Genesis.
Mother Earth Blues by Heart.
You really do have a lot more music probably than I do in general.
Heaven on Earth by Melissa Etheridge. Hmm. Peace on Earth by Meatloaf. Hmm. Back on Earth by Ozzy Osbourne.
Okay, we understand.
I asked for it, in fairness. But
this is a new segment. Pat names 35 songs.
Pat types in a word and then reads every song with
that
word.
Those are all good.
Before we continue, if you want to move the computer on the other side of the microphone, that way you and Janet can kind of share it.
Does that concern you about that
connection? Nope, we're fine. He's going to move that wire.
Great. great, great. I don't know. Yeah, I should have brought the list.
That's okay. I should. I didn't tell you to bring a list because I thought you were a grown up.
Yeah. No. No, I'm not.
So now what
did
do we do
now?
Did I
not explain that I make punching gestures when I...
I love it.
Yeah.
So... So we do Earth, and then we'll just do the other elements, and then go back to Earth again.
Sure.
You want to do that?
Yeah, great.
Okay, so I'll play my first water song.
Okay.
And this is from 1981. You've never heard this song before. I love this song.
Okay.
It's from Hall & Oates' Private Eyes album.
Why wouldn't I never heard it?
I don't think you've heard this song. Okay. It's called Head Above Water.
I really like Hall & Oates a lot.
You like this song. This is Head Above Water. Okay. It's a deep album cut.
Sure.
I love
that
song.
Sure, it's not their best, but it's great.
It's catchy.
It's great. And I love them.
You were dancing.
I was. I love Hall & Oates. Okay, so what was the one? Water, you said?
Water.
Okay, so listen, you know what? The other thing is that I do enjoy upbeat music, but unfortunately, in my search, mm-hmm. a lot of it turned out kind of morose or like, mm-hmm. you know, at least slow.
Yeah.
Sorry. But that's like when you limit it to one word, like it's tough. But so we'll just throw some Peter Gabriel on there because he's a favorite.
All right.
So this is from the album Us, which was an extraordinary album, and it meant a lot to me around the same time as The Soul Cages by Sting.
And this is Washing of the Water.
I guess I was going to say it afterwards. Sorry. Yeah. So this is the song Washing of the Water. But yeah, it's pretty, you know. Mellow.
Would you swallow me deep inside? River, show me how to float. I feel like I'm sinking down. Thought that I.
So you get it. Anyway, it's pretty mopey, but that album, the album is fantastic.
It is a great album.
I have to use this Washing of the Water song as a gateway into some of his best work, I think, is on that album.
Yeah, Steam, Digging in the Dirt, those are the big hits.
Those are the two big hits. Come Talk to Me with Sinead O'Connor mm-hmm. is amazing. Secret World is one of my favorite songs he's ever done.
Yeah.
So it's just a really great album. I think it's, you know, from beginning to end, there are just a lot of really great songs on there. And... you know, he really meant a lot to me when I was in high school. I loved Peter Gabriel.
Songs like that, that's a fall or a winter song.
Mm-hmm. I like a lot of fall and winter songs. Like but again, I didn't have a choice. On
it's raining outside or there's snow outside
that's
and you're inside.
That is, you know, now that you that's say what that, you like. That is kind of... Not so much... That pace of that song mm-hmm. is not necessarily representative, but I do...
Right.
There's another band on here that I kind of wish could, like, score my life.
And who would that be? Oh, well, they'll come on.
I guess we'll get there, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, mopey but great Peter Gabriel.
Mm-hmm. Do you go see live music much? Do you go out to the...
I try to, yeah. I don't go see, like, a bunch of new bands because mm-hmm. they all go on at 11 o'clock. And
I know,
an old lady.
Isn't that terrible?
It's tough. But I do try to go see, you know, there are people, like, I don't like missing. Like, if Frightened mm-hmm. Rabbit's in town, I don't want to miss seeing
Who is
them.
That? Tell me.
Frightened Rabbit.
I don't know who Frightened Rabbit is. What kind of music do they do?
I mean, it's just like alt rock. I mean, you can probably find something. I couldn't. There weren't. He has no songs that I know of. The band has no songs with any of the elements in it. Uh-huh. Or it would have come up because I own everything of theirs. But they're Scottish.
What if you just
I'm looking at you, Shams? I know that you're Irish. They're Scottish and just really good. Really, really,
all right, cool.
Really, really great band.
And
fantastic.
You have to check them out.
I don't remember why I brought them. Oh, seeing people live and like people like Andrew Bird. He's an amazing musician. He does a lot. He does shows at Largo, but he tours
all the animals, birds, rabbits.
Yeah, birds,
I guess
rabbits.
So. That was an accident.
It's pretty cool.
Huh.
What's our next element? Air.
Sure.
Is that what it is?
Sure.
Let's go with. I could play that just because you just played Peter Gabriel. It's kind of an easy choice, but let's play the Phil Collins song.
I'm in. Yeah. Thank God.
love listening to music in headphones like this.
I know.
It like, not earbuds, but like with big headphones.
Yeah. It's so immersive. It's really great. Yeah. It's a great song. That's a great song, and that's a great... Was that the one where there's like such a rumor going around forever about that song?
Yeah, he saw someone kill someone, and then at a concert... That person was in the front row. He invited that person to be in the front row.
Really? Yeah. Everyone talked about that. Yeah. And that was like free internet.
He didn't see a murder and then he didn't see a murder and then invite that person.
But it is funny that you just put two members of Genesis back to back. Good job.
I did that on purpose.
Yeah, good job.
I went through a Genesis Phil Collins run just like in November.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why like all these Peter Gabriel hits?
Yeah.
Would I like Peter Gabriel albums? So then here's what this podcast does to me. So then I'm like, well, I'm going to buy the first Peter Gabriel album.
Yep.
I bought the second. Yep. Third, and then I own them. I own them all now.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Great choice.
Thank you.
Where are we, air?
You are doing water.
I mean, oh, I am?
Wait, did you just do
water?
Oh,
no, I have to do air.
You're doing air.
I have to do air. All right, let's get the Postal Service song out of the way then. All due respect. So Recycled Air is a Postal Service song. I am a fan of Death Cab for Cutie.
Mm-hmm.
We've been the lead singer at SF Sketchfest, which was really exciting for me.
And what did he do at Sketchfest? What show was he on?
I think he was on John... Oh, he was on... Oh my God! I can't believe I'm blanking. He was on John Glazer's show, but
okay.
I can't remember what it was called. I'm blanking.
All right.
I'm so sorry for all those John Glazer fans who know exactly what I'm talking
about.
You can't
remember every single Sketchfest show and every single performer.
I know, but it's like a famous show on Adult Swim.
Oh,
Delocated.
Yeah.
Thank God I got there.
Thank God.
Just before
Kyle. Thank God Kyle was here.
He sang a song on that, and.
Good job, Kyle, to help her out.
Yeah, and Death Cab for Cutie was I got into him pretty early on. In my early 20s, I guess. I had like my boyfriend for 5 years in my 20s was...
Who's this guy? Let's talk about him.
His name is Chris Ryan, and he was like such a gateway into a ton of music that I still listen to.
That's a long time.
Cool. He's a cool dude.
Well, let me talk about this.
Yeah.
Five years, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Was that your longest relationship, 5 years?
No. I guess I made it to 7 with Hardwick.
Okay.
Also named Chris.
Who's this guy?
Hardwick,
is he...
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Chris's, that's funny.
Yeah, a lot of Chris's. He was a DJ, and so he had really eclectic taste. And,
cool.
There's a lot of music that I got into because of him. He was like that. I always knew I was going to like find out something cool.
Are you dating a Chris right now?
No.
Okay.
No. But if anyone's interested in their name Chris, you must be named Chris.
Evans on the line?
Let's do it.
Or
let's,
Chris Pratt? One of those guys is married, but he's willing to roll around in the hay, that's what he says.
Perfect, perfect.
That's the term he uses. Okay, so what's the song?
But anyway, so it's Postal Service Recycled Air. Again, is it my favorite song on Give Up, the Postal Service album? No, but that was a great album. There's some really great songs on it. This is a good one. Ish.
Okay, I like how you're doing this.
Well, what are you gonna do?
Pull the air until there's nothing left. I'm feeling green. The teenage lovers between the sheets.
This sounds like something else. What does this sound like?
Well, this is like, because Death Cab is actually a very like raw,
yeah.
You know, it's like, it is actually like, I mean, not so much now, but in the beginning, and this is a project. This is like Ben Gibbard and then someone else from another band.
It's like a super group.
It's like three people. It's like, yeah, it might have been like Jenny Lewis, Ben Gibbard, and then like a third person, someone else.
It's like an alt-rock
super
group.
It's not unlike Broken Bells, right, where you have this sort of like two...
Look, let me text him. If I had a producer that could look this up, that would be fantastic.
Hi,
Kyle.
It's Ben Gibbard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like we said, Jenny Lewis, like we said.
Yeah. Okay.
Laura Burhan.
Mm-hmm.
Laura Burhan is from the Mina Birds.
Uh-huh. I don't know that. But the guy is definitely some...
Jimmy Tamborello?
Yeah. He's from something else. He's from another band or something.
He makes pizza at the local joint.
He's also
Danny
known
Tamborello.
By this
you know.
Stage name Dental. And he is an American electronic musician and DJ.
Anyway.
What if he read all those names? He is this, is Jenny Lewis, and Peter Frampton.
Really?
What?
I got to tell you, Pat, I didn't realize Frampton was a part of it.
Yeah.
He yeah.
comes alive.
He really does. And yet remains undercover in this band. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was that. I can't remember. I think that's about being on a plane.
I like you're playing songs by artists you like, but these aren't your favorite songs.
I can't help it. I don't know what to tell you. I was very, that it could was, be the it's topic. Very limited.
play duds.
They're not duds, but I would rather have them be poppy and be right. like, I love this song.
I know.
But that's just not what happened when I searched for those words.
Look, you did your homework.
Yeah.
Your email to me was, well, that's quite an assignment.
I did. It was. I gave it a lot of thought.
Let's hear a fire song.
Let's do it.
I had tons of fire songs. Yeah. Let's find out how many.
Great.
I'm going to find out right now how many fire songs I have.
Sounds really good.
I bet there's going to be a lot. Now, sometimes there can be duplicates, too, because, like, I'm sure I have Fire and Rain in here a couple mm-hmm. of times because mm-hmm. of live versions and yeah. whatnot. Let me see what I
wish I had Fire Woman by the Cole. I don't have that, and I didn't.
I have 162 fire Jeez. Songs.
Now, is that a lot or not a lot?
Let me tell you something.
That's a lot, my friend.
Let me tell you something. The first four are all by AC/DC. These guys love
wow.
fire.
I bet they all sound the same. So that counts as one, right?
Sky's on Fire, The House is on Fire, Fire Your Guns, mm-hmm. and Baptism by Fire.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then the fifth song that comes up is actually the song I'm going to play right now.
Okay.
This is by a lady who recorded this when she was just 21 years old.
All right.
Her name's Adele.
Oh.
And this is Set Fire to the Rain.
So good.
My youngest, who's 10 now, has been singing this whole album since she was 8.
Wow.
And it's a show every night when she's in the shower.
Great.
Because she's uninhibited. She doesn't think we can even hear.
Yes.
And she can actually sing. And she just belts these
that's
out.
Great.
It is so great.
Oh, it's such an Adele's really, that's the perfect person to listen right. to and belt it out, right? She's so amazing.
She is amazing.
It's
and,
a great song.
And we... But we never tell her that we can hear because right. She'll feel self-conscious and then
yeah.
she won't. But as soon as the door shuts, boom, she's
fantastic.
Into it.
Fantastic. Well, it seems like the natural thing to do since you said that she was 21 when she recorded it. I feel like this is a very early album in this person's career. I don't know how old she was, but she certainly wasn't very old.
Was she six?
She was 6 years old. unabashedly going to bring up Joni Mitchell's Cold Blue Steel and Sweet Fire.
Looking for sweet fire, shadow of lady release. Come with me, I know the way, she says it's down, down, down the dark ladder. Someone a letter. You can come now, you can come later.
Amazing, amazing album.
Her voice is she's kind of yodely
mm-hmm.
sometimes.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah, she your favorite?
Yes.
She is. Oh, Joni Mitchell is your favorite?
She's not my favorite, but she's a big favorite.
Have you ever?
I defy anyone to find a lyricist more talented than Joni Mitchell.
Have you ever seen her perform?
No, she doesn't really perform. I mean, they'll do like tributes to her where she'll come play a song or something, but she's not.
Does she still live in L.A.? I wonder.
I think she might live in the Malibu area. Could be wrong.
Doesn't live in the canyon anymore.
I don't know if she lives in the canyon.
Where all the hippies
but I also
used to
love
live.
That album. Yeah, I love it all. I love all those albums.
She was 29.
There you go.
That's pretty young. Out. How old is she now? 72.
71.
71.
Oh, Joni.
I saw when I saw Carole King and James Taylor together. I'm pretty sure Carole King was about 69 or 70. She's moving and grooving.
I'm glad you got to that show. I wish I could have.
So
I wanted to like bring. I got my dad the DVD and CD mm-hmm. set that they did from that, but I was out of town. But I would have loved to take my dad to that.
It was at the Hollywood Bowl.
It's great.
I snuck wine in.
snuck it in. I thought you were allowed to bring it in.
You're not allowed to bring it. They search now. You're not allowed because they sell it there. So.
Oh, so you can bring in food, but you can't bring in wine.
Yeah. Okay. And I have a backpack with two pockets. So I just opened up the pocket that didn't have the wine.
Yeah,
in.
You did. Yeah, like a high school student. Yeah, you know how to you know how to hide
I had
shit.
We had Boone's Farm, strawberry. And
oh, you classed it up.
Pilar doesn't like if there's any chance that you can get in trouble, even though she's an adult. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, just let's just put it in the trash and we'll just buy in there. Yeah, no, we're going
to
take it in.
Yeah. So and she's easy like, to picture this in there.
Yeah, and she's like, no, I go, just pretend like you're not with me then. So I'll go ahead. And she's like, I'm going to be so embarrassed.
Yeah. But you did it.
And then we got in. She's like, hey, that was great.
Then you were like, Big Joe Cool. Because you snuck
then
it
she's
in.
Always like, this is awesome.
She enjoyed it more because she was more worried. Yeah, makes sense.
Where were you earlier when you're all scared?
Yeah.
When you were a big scared babe.
You love your wife.
No wine for you. What's next? You just played a Joni Mitchell song. I think we're going back to
we're cycling back.
We're back up to Earth.
All right.
Let's hear Duran Duran. Let's hear Planet Earth.
Hold on one second. Good one. Let's get Duran Duran in here.
Yeah. This has more edge than the Shams.
Yeah.
I don't play Duran Duran that much on
God,
the show.
I love Duran
I can't
Duran.
Believe Christy Stratton doesn't play it more.
Yeah. God, I love Christy Stratton.
She's Cole Stratton's sister. A lot of people
that. For sure not true.
I'm pretty sure.
But I cannot emphasize enough how much I love Christy Stratton.
And you were just in the web series that
I directed. I would do that forever. I would work with her forever more.
Now, Christy was here. And we asked her what she thought about you.
Uh-oh.
And she recorded a little thing. Kyle,
are you serious?
Hey, Kyle, if you want to play what Christy said about Janet. Okay. You have it ready?
I can't believe this.
Yeah, this is true.
This is the best surprise ever.
Let's hear.
Uh-huh. That sounds great.
I love you so much, and you're the greatest.
Is that a real thing?
No, that's
you're just playing
that's actually a 16-year-old Christy Stratton calling Rockline to talk to Elliot Easton from The Cars.
Amazing.
And that's what so we've made a little drop in of that. And also Lenny Kravitz is not a fan of yours.
Okay. All right.
And he wanted to say something to you.
I see.
Okay.
Fuck you.
Okay. Huh. So I'm sorry about that.
Wow, those were both bits.
Yeah, I know. Those little drop-ins we do.
All right. I'm still reeling.
I could do a third one if you're into these.
Clearly, it's the best part of the show. So if you want
to... Recently, I asked Ace Frehley from Kiss.
Uh-huh.
I said, Ace, do you like the show Legends of Korra? Uh-huh. And he said...
Yeah, sure, baby.
All right.
Huh? He sounds like he could take it or leave it, but it's semi-positive. I'm going to take that as a good thing.
Okay. But she was very excited about your performance.
I love her.
She
so
she was not happy about this Bader.
Boy, that comes as bad news.
Yeah. Apparently, he's being edited out. It's all
about. Oh my gosh!
The show now is about a single mom. Yeah.
Well,
I think they call it cut around him.
Yeah, that is what they call it.
Yeah.
Wow. This is shocking news.
It's a rock solid exclusive.
It is. I know you want to be the next TMZ. You're on your way.
Here we go.
Did he do any voices for Korra?
I don't think he did any Korra stuff, but he sure does a ton of VO. Yeah.
Did Batman
great
and
voice.
Brave and the Bold.
Yeah, he works a ton.
Yeah.
I see him at cons sometimes. Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, he's cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's Jethro.
Yeah.
I only call him Jethro. Whenever I run into him, I go,
Smart.
Jethro. He
Smart.
Loves that. He
Smart.
Loves it. If you ever run into Dietrich Bader, is it Bader or Batter?
It's Bader.
Bader. Yeah. If you ever run into him, just go up, tap him on the back and say, Jethro.
Yep.
Loves it.
Yeah. He's a big, strong man who will turn around and just elbow you right in the face.
Just like Jethro. The real
just
Jethro,
like Jethro
is a big,
would.
Strong man.
That's right.
Do you have an Earth song
Another
for
Earth
us?
Song. I have one final Earth song.
Let me ramp it up like you would do it.
Oh, good.
I don't really like it. I like the band, but all their other songs are better than this one.
I know. I really feel bad.
I blow by this one. I skip it.
Be honest with me. Is this the worst episode you've ever recorded?
No.
Oh, all right.
What would be the worst? I don't know if I could pick the worst.
Has anyone else come here like with my problem, which is I...
Not liking music?
Okay, listen. Is anyone coming
not
with a problem
fun?
Of... Okay. Is anyone... coming with a problem of I love this band, this is a song that has the right word in it, mm-hmm. but this isn't like the song of all
songs.
Yes,
I mean this is very specific.
Yes, okay.
Like if we did a show where I said play your favorite song,
right.
It would be any song that you didn't bring tonight.
Yes, that's right. I for sure. Listen.
But I'm glad that you stuck with it.
Get ready for this. I love this song. Mm-hmm. I love this band.
Ooh.
The New Pornographers.
Okay.
All the Things That Go to Make Heaven and Earth. I think it's a very long title.
All right. Nice.
We got there.
I don't know if I like their name of their band though. The New Pornographers.
It's a bit unsettling.
You prefer the Old Pornographers?
I do because that's when porn was good.
That's right.
It was shot on film. The ladies didn't trim up as much.
Sure.
Everyone had integrity.
Yeah. There were no fake boobs.
Yeah, and there was just more plot and emotion.
Definitely more acting.
Stakes.
Yeah.
You might say.
Exactly.
So that's the New Pornographers. Nico Case is a member. AC Newman is a member. Mm. They do a lot of side projects too.
Yeah.
She's extraordinary on her own. They're a great band. Love them.
Good.
Yeah.
I like that song a lot.
Yeah, I got there.
It's my favorite so far
that you played. Not surprised.
Now, again, to this topic tonight. I always want to have people on, and I have to figure out, like, I want to have Jana Varney on. Because Paul Gilmartin has never been on.
Yeah.
But he's going to come on, and we're going to do, since he has the mental illness happy hour, we're going to do crazy songs.
Perfect. That's great.
You know what I mean? I want to be sedated by the Ramones. That could
really,
be
really, really great.
It sounded like you were going to say, since he has mental illness.
Well, he does.
We want to have him on.
He says he does.
Yeah.
Paul Gilmartin does a thing. And you were around him a lot.
Yeah, he's one of my best friends.
But not the best.
I don't have one.
He had three co-hosts on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in the top three.
Thank you.
That's what he told me.
That sounds, you channeled him perfectly.
How many seasons did you do the show?
Seven.
You did it seven. So did you do it more than any of the other? You did.
I won.
You were the best.
I won.
What was I going to say? Forgot what I was going to say. Something about Paul.
He
does this thing at poker. He comes to poker late. Every time he comes late. And he walks in, he'll bring a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll yell some nastiness at us. And then he'll go around the table and he'll give us all nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
Like he called him Shrimp Boat.
Okay, that's
I'm Fuckface.
Sure.
Like he'll just go, "Hey, you're Fuckface, you're Shrimp Boat, you're," and then he takes the pizza in the kitchen and he comes out with a paper plate with literally 5 of the 8 slices of pizza. I'm not kidding. On his plate.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, "Why don't you just bring the box and sit it in your lap, you pig?"
Uh-huh.
And then he'll eat it all.
Yep.
Lick his finger. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. We keep inviting him.
He's crazy. Yeah, well, he's a good time.
No, I love Paul.
Paul will be on.
Your point was like
this was very specific. Like my friend Chip Chinnery, he's very good with his money. He's frugal. He knows how to invest. He has rental properties.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a show called The Almighty Dollar.
That's great.
We just played, you know, like Money Changes Everything by Cyndi Lauper and whatever.
Love that song. Legit love that song.
That is a great song.
Yeah.
I forget who
did Prince write that? Or he wrote When You Were Mine? Never mind.
Yeah, I think Jules Shear wrote Money Changes Everything. Could you look that up?
Fair enough.
We'll take a second.
Sure, Prince wrote When You Were Mine.
Yes, and that's a great song.
Great song. She's So Unusual is a great album. Great album.
It is a great album.
Who'd you say it was written by?
Jules Shear.
Wrong.
Oh, give me his initials.
J. TG.
TGIF.
Yes.
Thank God. Thank it's God. Friday. Joel Shear wrote something on this album, though. Please
well,
tell me.
This is Tom Gray.
Tom Gray. Okay, well, but what a Joel Shear. He wrote something on the She's So Unusual album. Please tell me that I'm right. I have a music podcast.
Joel Shear.
Come on, dude.
Joel Shear.
I'm looking it up. Hold on.
Joel
What's taking so
Shear. Who's Joel Shear that you know that?
He's a singer-songwriter.
Okay.
S-C-H-E-A-R.
Boy, this is happening in real time, everybody.
We don't edit either.
He's got nothing. I don't either.
No, I don't think there's none.
No, that can't be right.
Hmm.
Did you look up the album She's So Unusual?
Yes, that's what I'm looking at right now.
Hmm.
He didn't write any song on that album?
He didn't write like Time After Time or something?
It doesn't look like it. It could be wrong. It is
not,
Wikipedia.
He's not believing it.
But
he's getting in there. Getting in there.
Do you want to pick your thing while we're looking this up?
I think the fans will like this. Well, he sings background vocal. He does something on that album. You find his name associated with that. Right, God
I'll look
damn
it up once you once
we
start playing
right.
the
song. Okay. So what are we back to?
Water.
We're water.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna play. First of all, I have to say for this gentleman, rock in peace. Because he's no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we say. We say rock and
rock
peace.
Rock and peace.
To Mr. Andy Gibb.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's play a little Super Sounds of the 70s with Love is Thicker Than Water.
Great.
But I can't leave her while I need her more than she needs you. That's what I'm living for.
I found the answer. Stop looking.
What is it?
God, Andy Gibb was so good looking.
Yeah, he really was.
He
it's
died.
A weird the range of good lookingness in the Gibbs brother or the Gibb brothers is really interesting.
Like the Baldwins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
they run the gamut.
Like Robin, mm-hmm. not good looking.
No.
He's at the bottom.
Yes, he is.
Then it would be Maurice or Morris. How do you say it? Maurice or Morris?
I think it's Maurice.
Maurice. That's how I would say it.
I think it's Maurice.
And then who's better looking, Andy or Barry?
I think Andy,
too, and then Barry. It's so sad. The brother's Gibb, and now there's only one brother left. So Joel Shear wrote All Through the Night.
Great.
And he co-wrote.
Love that song,
and he
too.
Co-wrote I'll Kiss You with Cindy.
That's all great, and All Through the Night is great. And do you have her her acoustic album?
Acoustica, I think, mm-hmm. is what it's called, yes.
And that cover of All Through the Night is gorgeous.
Terrific.
Oh, it's so good. Her voice
is
amazing.
Her.
Yeah.
When she talks, is she faking that?
I don't know. That's a great question. It's a great question.
We did a We Are the World episode last week, and her solo in We Are the World is
remarkable.
Well, it's kind of crazy, too.
She does a lot of... Well, that's kind of what she was into.
Well, that's true.
Wailing, screaming-ish.
She's very unusual.
I know
that's
that.
Very unusual.
I know that song, and everyone singing it. Like, does everyone know it as well as I do? Like, I feel like I know... Like, I feel like I, and I know you already did this.
Yeah, yeah.
This,
no, it's
this
fine.
Cover, but I feel like I could do an impression of every single stanza,
oh, I'm
every
sure
single
you could.
Word.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And action.
And I would. But I you already did the. You
Maybe
did
that's
thing.
A show at Sketchfest next year.
I'm just.
You and Cole,
I'm not
you
gonna
guys
do the whole
do
thing.
The whole
I just
thing.
Want you to understand that, like, we can't go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere can soon make a change. We're all a part of God's great big family. Like I don't know how
that's
I why
that.
I know that.
Yeah,
I
that's
don't
great.
Know. This it's not something I do even.
How,
like it's not
is this how you
I
got the Cora job?
Yeah, is yes. this how you got the Cora job?
Yes,
yeah.
I auditioned.
That's
with.
A good question,
give
Kyle.
Give us some of your range. Well, I can sing We Are the World.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Who do you want to hear? All of them? All
who
of
you want to hear? You want to hear Willie
it.
Nelson?
Let's
or
get
you want to hear Jeffrey Osborne? You tell me.
Weird. I don't know why I, yeah.
You want to hear Steve Perry? You want to hear Daryl Hall? You let me know.
Yeah. I could do all of those. So I'm not going to.
You know Dan Aykroyd was in the room for that.
I did know that.
It's a little weird.
Just in the background being a blues mm-hmm. brother.
He's in the chorus.
Mm-hmm. You take it. You show up and you take it.
No, Bette Midler was there too and they didn't give her a solo.
That is surprising.
That is surprising, isn't it?
Because there were some people who got solos. Like, I don't know that we need Kim Carnes in there, but
yeah,
not Bette
really.
Midler.
I mean, we still know who Bette Midler is.
That's right.
Who's Kim Carnes now?
Well, She's the mayor of Pasadena.
She's the mayor of Pasadena.
Is that true?
No. Oh. I went when Christy went for this episode, I told Christy, that Pardo and I, many years ago, we were writing a sitcom about guys that work in a record store in Pasadena, and we wrote that Kim Carnes is the mayor of Pasadena. Just for no reason. It just made us laugh. So
good,
I'm like, yeah, why not?
Good for her, got and into politics.
I think Jimmy said, what if we can't get Kim? It doesn't matter if we can get her or not. We're not even going to finish this thing, so what's the matter?
That's good.
Let's just hang on to this one.
I like this alternate universe where you're the voice of reason between you and Jimmy.
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
What if she said, what if it did like start to go into production? She goes, you know what, I can't do that. And then she announced her candidacy for mayor.
Yeah.
You know what?
I think you sued her for giving her the idea.
I tell you what, it looks like Juice Newton would have had an acting gig then.
I think you're right. I think you're onto something. Oh, wow.
I keep forgetting, I just played a water song, and you just played a water song, right?
I did. No, it's my turn to play a water song. Okay, well, here comes some more emotional music.
I thought you were going to say, here comes another song. I don't really care for
it. No, I love it, but I will say this about this.
Yeah.
So this is Sun Kil Moon, mm-hmm. which is I seem to like a lot of musicians who have like 8 projects, but Mark Kozelek is one of my favorites.
See, if I knew this,
love him so much.
We would have done an episode called Side Projects.
Yeah. Oh,
next
God,
time.
I could side project it
next
up.
Next time.
Side project it up. So Mark Kozelek he was in the Red House Painters. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of solo stuff. He does a lot of stuff with Sun Kil Moon. He does something with a band called Desert Shore that used to be Red House Painters. Anyway, he also does, he's really interested in doing covers mm-hmm. of other musicians.
Yeah.
So he'll do a whole album. This album, Tiny Cities, is an entirely covered album of Modest Mouse songs.
Okay. That's interesting.
But what he does with them don't sound anything. And then he also did a cover album of, my problem is I can't remember. It's either like Judas Priest or mm-hmm. AC/DC. Do you know who sings like Bad Boy Boogie and like Up to My Neck in You? And
That's AC/DC.
Okay, so he did a cover album of acoustic solo, like just him and a guitar. In a very moody, folky way, he covered those songs.
I want to hear some of that.
I love it. But, you know, you probably won't if you love it. But I don't know.
But,
no,
like,
but
he
loves AC/DC, and like that's
no,
his tribute to them.
I would love that.
So, and you know what Modest Mouse sounds like, yeah?
Yeah.
Because this, what you're about to hear, sounds nothing like Modest Mouse. And I think it's so interesting, the take that he gives things. So this is Gray Ice Water, originally by Modest Mouse, as covered by Sun Kil Moon.
See if one can repay. There ain't no way to spend it. On the boat, it's a fish trap. You took the path of least resistance. On the phone, cutting out talking. Short to long, long, long distance. You're standing by the gray ice water.
So if you had, I wish that I had, I should have brought the Modest Mouse version too, just to play the difference. But if you find it, if you want to find a clip, it's pretty interesting.
And the guy that did the AC/DC cover album, what is his name?
Mark Kozelek. That's a lead singer. So it's Kozelek.
All right, I found this.
I found one too. I can play it.
I mean, it's really mopey, but I love it.
Let's hear. Do you have the whole album up?
Yeah, I'm going to play the Gray Ice Water second, the real one. From Modest Mouse.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I found the AC/DC then.
Yeah, I found it too.
Yeah.
It's not a competition.
It kind of is, though. That's really different.
Yeah, that's really different.
Because his is good and Modest Mouse's is not.
Wow, Kyle does not like Modest Mouse.
I'm not a huge Modest Mouse fan either. I didn't know. I guess I did know, but when I got the album, I just didn't know how I felt about Modest Mouse either way. And so there are a couple of songs mm-hmm. that he covered that I like, that the Modest Mouse version. But
so I've got this. Mark Kozelek album uh-huh. out. It's called What's Next to the Moon.
Yep.
It's got 10. I'm gonna go.
You know what? It's good.
What?
Sorry. I think a good example would be Rock and Roll Singer.
Okay. That was actually one that I was going to play.
Yeah.
But then I saw Love at First Feel, and I thought...
Oh, that's great, too. Well, I love him. I love him.
Well, I want to hear this. Let's do Rock and Roll Singer. Let's hear this. iTunes is going to let us have 90 seconds.
I was half alive, knew what I wanted.
When I left school, I grew my hair. They didn't understand. Wanted me to be respected as a doctor or a lawyer man.
So it's just like super spare.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's so funny because if you heard this, you'd be like, I don't know who wrote these songs, but it's great lyrics.
Yeah.
But when you hear AC/DC,
that's what's crazy.
When you hear AC/DC, you're just like, yeah.
I know.
You don't,
if you did Kiss songs, they'd still be awful.
Yeah, if they did Kiss songs.
You can't like strip it down without it being like, you can't
do an acoustic Burn Bitch Burn and make it sound
good.
Love
Gun.
What was the one? What was the other one that you won't have to play it, but now
Love It First Feel.
Oh, God, that's so great.
Here we go. Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Love in the third degree.
I'm gonna buy this.
It was love at first feel.
I'm gonna go ahead and sing along.
It was love at first feel.
I like to harmonize. Let's do it.
It's not dirty when he does it.
It was love at first feel. It was love at first feel. It was love at first feel.
You can sing. You can really sing. Maybe that's the next year. You come in with an acoustic. Maybe Go Martin comes in with his guitar.
Great.
And you two.
Remember the one he bought like 12 guitars, told us about every single one.
He loves guitars.
Like, he brought a guitar to poker once.
That's.
He brings the case in. Oh, I'm sorry I'm late. I just bought this guitar. And we're like, where'd you buy it? Did you buy it in an alley somewhere? It's night at night.
I love it. Like, he was still so excited about it, he needed not be separated from it, even for poker.
Brought it with him.
That's so Peege. Come on, Peege.
No one calls him Peege.
I do. He knows.
I don't believe it.
P-E-E-G-E.
I don't believe it.
I can pull up an email right now that says, what's up, Peege? Anyway, yeah, so that's a great album.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It's really good.
The first time an AC/DC song has sounded different from another
AC/DC song. It's so strange.
I don't hate them. I like the 10 songs, and I don't like the other 20 that sound exactly the same.
There's a Kiss song called Burn Bitch Burn with this lyric. I don't care. Acoustic, I don't care. I don't care if it's a choir, if it's an orchestra, if it's a symphony.
Yeah.
If you cannot sing the line, I want to put my log in your fireplace. Isn't that the worst piece of garbage?
Just dreadful.
And we always say this. Someone out there, that's their favorite song.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Kiss song? Burn, Bitch, Burn.
Yeah.
It couldn't be.
They draw us, like, they make it like a metaphor. That it will blow your fucking mind.
Do the world a favor, and you and any spawn you've created, if that's your favorite song, walk into traffic.
Yeah.
Just go out to the busiest road near your trailer and walk into traffic.
Yeah. I love Kiss, but I can call them on it when it's really horrible. Really, like, bad. I like the horrible Kiss. I don't like the really horrible Kiss.
Yeah. It's a fine line for some people. It is. But I hear you.
Well, I like that song that you just played.
That's a good one.
Why am I losing track of what element we're on?
We are on air.
Okay. So, playing? So you have an air, then I have an air.
Okay.
We're getting there.
All right. This is a song by Thunderclap Newman.
Okay.
And what year did it come out? Because
I can only assume 69. That's his given name.
What's it?
69.
Oh, it did come out. I wasn't saying that for a joke. I just have a different year in here that I knew wasn't right. But let's try that again. What year did this come out?
69.
My brother. this is a song called Something in the Air. You probably know this song. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. I bet you haven't heard it.
All right. Oh, yeah, for sure. Because there's
something in the air. Tom Petty does a great version of it.
Like a walking down step bass.
Yes.
Did you sing?
Did you sing in high school? Were you in like the musicals?
I wasn't so much in musicals as like I play guitar also. So I was like,
play guitar.
I wanted to be like a singer songwriter, and then I was in actual like rock bands in San Francisco in my 20s.
When was the last time you picked the guitar up?
Very recently, I had a jam session with Sarah Watkins and my friend Suzanne Santo from Honey Honey, and my friends Jenny Waite. It was a four-girl music jam session.
At your house?
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Watkins,
mm-hmm.
one of her
Grammy nominated Sarah Hawkins.
One of her albums is produced by John Paul Jones, the bass player from Led Zeppelin.
Well, there you go.
That is phenomenal.
She's a badass.
Yeah,
I've
seen the Watkins family at at Largo.
Yep.
Yeah, because I went because Jackson Browne was going to sit in with them, and I love Jackson Browne.
I wonder if you were at that show. Well, he's done a bunch of shows with them.
He does, but I mean, he has, and they were very good. What's her brother's name?
Sean.
Sean. Yes.
Yeah, I love him. Yeah. Great one. That's a great song.
Very cool.
And I didn't know that it was by Thunderclap Newman. And yet I know that version. I don't know Tom Petty's version. So now I know Thunderclap Newman is a thing.
There you go.
His God-given name.
That sounds like a Kiss lyric.
Thunderclap Newman?
Yeah.
I got the Thunderclap Newman. It's terrible.
You got to get that checked out. Okay, so my second and last air song is Airbag by Radiohead. I think
sounds like you're ending the podcast. My second and last sounds like you're leaving.
It's the last song I have with air in it. I don't know how to be more clear about that, Pat.
You're not having any fun, I don't think.
I am too.
Okay.
Was just worried that you guys. I was worried that you were not having fun because I was apologizing for songs.
No.
I think that OK Computer is I never
have fun here.
That's good. That's too close to never not fun. You might get sued.
No,
not have fun.
Yeah. Never not have fun.
you're really going to be in a lot of trouble.
And you can just never not fun.
Yeah.
Never not fun.
Yeah. It's not the same, Jimmy.
NNF.
It's not the same. No one's going to mistake one for the other.
Ours are all lowercase letters.
There you go. Oh, shit.
I'm going to get a cease and desist probably Friday morning.
I'm surprised one isn't here already, and I know how recording works and that no one's hearing this.
What if the door of that cabinet opened up and Jimmy walked out?
Yeah.
walked out?
Yeah.
I've been here the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. What a surprise. So I think OK Computer is one of the best albums ever made.
This is Radiohead?
Radiohead.
I've never gotten into Radiohead. I don't know why.
I'm not into... For me, it was never better than this album.
Okay.
They're great, and you know, but for me, this is their best album, and it is one of those sort of conceptual albums that works together every song, the whole. This is the first song on the album. It's great. I don't know if you're going to start from the beginning, but probably don't, because I don't think you can hear what it is as much until like way further in, almost towards the end even.
All right. You want to jump towards the
end? You want to skip through a little bit?
Skip through a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, like
it's a very like characteristic of this album for them, and they're really doing, I think, really like innovative music.
Cool. How long is the song, Kyle?
It's about 4:45.
Jump in around 4:38.
No, I would say, hold on. Pop in around minute two or something.
A minute two, she says.
Three is probably fine. I don't know. I don't know the song that well.
Okay, let's find out.
Yeah, so good. So you're there doing live, they're just great. It's a great song to do. And
I like
just
that.
Like that the lyrics were, I'm back to save the universe, which feels very Korra, right? It's a great album. God damn it, so good.
Kyle, mark down the time code where Janet takes the Lord's name in vain so I can edit that out. Jeez.
This was definitely one of those that you were talking about with like the Peter Gabriel thing where when I searched for this, I was like, I have not been listening to that album. Like I haven't listened to it in such a long time.
And now you're going to
listen
to it.
Let me just get it all over me. Let me just get back into that album.
I like that. Did you like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounded half-hearted.
No, I don't mind it.
I'm going to have to listen to that because I know Radiohead. I know the name.
I know Tom York.
Tom York's the guy.
I think give OK Computer a try.
All right, cool. That's ground zero. That's where
For
I should
me,
start.
Yeah.
This Tom York.
Yes.
Whenever I see him, here's what he reminds me of.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that Saturday Night Live sketch where Harry Shearer and Martin Short are the synchronized swimmers?
Yes. I'm not a very strong swimmer. Yeah,
that Tom York reminds me of the character.
Hilarious.
That he's playing in
not,
that.
He's an odd man, I think.
He is
a little bit
strange.
Yeah. I see it. I
would like to get that. I'm gonna get to Sarah Watkins. I'm gonna contact her. I'm gonna get her to come in on this show.
You should.
And play that guitar.
Yeah, you should. She's amazing.
All right.
Have Paul bring one in. Paige, rather.
Or ask the Watkins. Like, ask Sean and Sarah to come in and play something.
I have a thing with Sean.
Oh, I see.
That guy fucking owes me money.
I see.
We were in Vegas.
Got it.
And things got out of hand.
Got it. I think the theme of the show could be like things that are broken, like broken relationships that need to be mended. And like you could really come. I think you could mend on the show. I want you to think about it. Get back to me.
Who's older? Sean? Sean's younger brother?
No, Sean's older.
Absolutely. By a lot. By a lot.
I didn't mean to sound like I was that shocked at the question.
I just played an air song. I'm going to play.
Where are we?
Fire. What did I just play?
She just played an air song. Now it's you're on a fire song.
I'm glad you're here tonight.
I know.
Really, I am. Okay, this is a song. No one's ever heard this song. Or if you have, it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. I doubt you've ever heard this song. Mm-hmm. There's an artist called Walter Egan.
Okay.
And his big hit, he's basically a one-hit wonder. His big hit was Magnet and Steel.
Okay.
Remember that song?
No.
Is he a Ghostbuster?
Yes, Walter Egan.
No, that's Dr. Egon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You never heard Magnet and Steel?
I don't know.
With you, I'm not shy to show the way I feel. That's not the song, I'm just saying.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I can't sing it all, so I can't. Are you going to find Magnet and Steel? Okay, here's his one hit. It's great. Stevie Nicks on background vocals.
Oh, yeah?
Produced by Lindsey Buckingham.
Now I told you so, you ought to know.
Never heard that song. Have you ever heard it, Kyle?
I feel like I have. Like maybe when I'm getting my hair cut or something.
Uh-huh. It might have been
in Boogie Nights.
Interesting.
That might have been where I heard it.
Well, then I would have heard it because it's a great movie.
Let's get to the chorus.
You're so close now.
What I meant to say is, Janet, be quiet. We're trying to get to the chorus.
I see.
And I can't let this isn't even the song I'm playing, but
it's gorgeous.
Don't know it?
But I don't know it. No.
She doesn't know it.
I really don't. You know why? Because I don't get my hair cut that much.
You are a magnet and I am steel. Stuck together.
That's just science right there.
I feel like steel physics. Isn't actually magnetic.
You don't think it is?
I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
He's just ready to judge. Ready to judge.
So I'm going
to
play another song by that gentleman. That's not even the song I'm playing. God, I wish it was for You Are a Magnet and I am Fire.
Yeah.
I wish that would have. This is a song called Full Moon Fire. This is also Walter
confusing.
Egan.
That's a confusing image.
Full Moon Fire. I think it's about a kid who's a werewolf.
Oh, okay.
I love hand claps. All right, that's it.
Yeah.
Steel is magnetic. I corrected myself.
It is.
Okay.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks because for coming
it's
clean.
It's mostly iron.
Got it.
Did you look that up?
I did.
Okay.
Great.
How come you couldn't find Jules Shear, but you find all this other stuff, scientific stuff?
Steel is magnetic.
I don't think you knew how to spell Shear.
You said S-C-H, and there was no C.
I didn't say C.
All right, everyone rewind it back, and if he said C...
Well, they won't be able to because I'm editing that part.
Nice!
And you're the first person to email, we'll throw the sham CD revealing. Out.
Here's what it'll be. Kyle will go like, how do you spell it? And then you hear S-H-E-A-R. Okay, so now let me get this straight.
So now I'm due for a fire, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this
might be our last song, unless you have something else to play out with.
I have a couple more.
Was that my last one?
That's her last one?
No, you have two more.
Is it all 10? Oh, I have two more too?
I think so.
Oh, well, then it's not our last one.
Yeah. Never mind.
I'm sorry, do you have someplace to go? Are you trying to get out of here?
I didn't know if you were ending it
equally.
Okay.
I end it. What time is it?
It's 9:30.
This is our last song.
Oh, boy. Okay, so this is a song off of the Nationals' most recent album.
Okay.
And it's called Fireproof, and I think the National is an amazing band. I love them very much.
Nice.
And some of their stuff is like very fast and pretty rock and roll. This is not, but it's a great song.
And keep some fireproof. Nothing breaks your fireproof. It's just the way you are. You tell me you're waiting to find someone who isn't so hopeless. There's no one. You're fireproof.
Did you see
Nothing
Mistaken for Strangers?
No.
Oh, it surprises me. It's a documentary about the National. But it's like a music documentary.
Yeah, I've seen
it. It's really good.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
It's really good.
I'm not a huge fan of this band, but
I you know what's funny about music documentaries, even if I'm not a fan of the band, if I start watching the documentary, I'll always be enthralled.
Haven't seen it. I think you should watch it. It's a very interesting movie about what someone intended and then what it sort of turns into.
Okay.
Good.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't know.
I'm out.
All right.
I don't know if it is.
Moving on to our almost last song.
Let me remind everyone that The Legend of Korra, Book 4, Balance, is available right now on Amazon.com. We're going to be giving away 4 copies of that, autographed, signed. Mm-hmm. Janet Varney.
Posters and the
great signature too. She's a nice signature. She writes Korra in quotes.
Those are my last two. Got it. Sorry, I just had to look at the list.
Okay, we're getting busted. This is going to be
happened.
A raid.
It's Jimmy.
You record right at your house.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was on your podcast. She had a lot of fun.
Yeah, she's
very nervous when she went to your house.
Oh, gosh, I wouldn't have known it.
And I go, honey, she's nervous about everything.
Though. Got it.
One time,
did she smuggle boons into my podcast?
She did. Yep, she did.
I wish I would have known.
Did she go to the bathroom at all? Because that's where she hits the juice.
Yeah, I think she did.
And then she comes
out,
hey, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, very bubbly. okay.
Okay, so what's the next element? I don't know why I'm so losing.
No, I don't know.
Earth
either.
Would be the next one if you're continuing to go in order.
And it's my turn.
And do you have 10 total, or do you have like 50? Because we could
Long time. I had 3 from 18. Each element. No, those sham songs don't count.
Oh, okay.
I drag those right in the trash.
12.
Highlight and delete.
How long is this podcast usually?
Usually 90 minutes.
Okay.
But sometimes if we're having fun, it goes longer.
No, is that a lot or a little? Or not a lot, I should say.
I should have eaten dinner.
Let me tell you.
I should have eaten dinner, is what I'm saying.
For one listener, it's too much.
Yeah.
I've only ever had one person ever say, episodes are getting a little bit long.
Yeah.
Okay. Jackass.
The nice thing about the podcast be that you can pause it and return to something else.
Listen to it at your leisure.
One of my children died because I didn't feed them. Yeah. That podcast was too long.
Daddy, can you tuck me in? I would love to tuck you in, honey.
Yeah.
But Pat had to play extra fire songs
this week. That's right.
So I cannot.
Yep.
Also, we've done nothing but shit on this person for like 5 months now.
Perfect. I'm sure he's still listening.
So I actually put it on our Facebook page. You go, are the episodes getting too long? No, I love it. Blah, blah. Okay. One guy.
Well, we took it seriously. It's hard not to. I know.
Do you have any bad reviews on iTunes for your podcast?
I don't know. I never really look.
You want to read some?
No, I don't.
My wife would just want
to eat dinner.
Did you really not eat any dinner? No. Do you want some chocolate? We have some chocolate over there.
It's fine. We're gonna get through this.
What time do you usually eat dinner? We started this at 8.
I know. I just didn't have time.
About 9.
I would have got you something from Lemonade and had it here for you.
I know. It's
she
my fault.
Like Lemonade.
In my mind, I was like, it's an hour. Da da da. Somehow the extra half hour is—that's when the hunger kicked in—is like 5 minutes ago.
Are you going
like,
to make it to?
Ravenous.
Are you going to get now? Will you go home and cook, or are you going to stop and get something?
I won't go home and cook, but I will go home and eat whatever does not need to be cooked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like what? Bowl cereal.
Like a bowl cereal. Maybe.
What's your favorite
raw
food?
Potato.
What's
Let's go off topic.
Food?
What's your favorite food?
Boy, that's a great question.
I like a lot of foods. I can't pick one.
I don't know why you want to make this podcast longer and have me talk about the thing I don't have access to right now. is really what I'm most confused about.
I'm going to name a bunch of foods.
Uh-huh.
And if you like it, I want you to say yummy.
Okay, all right.
And no, I'm not going to do that. Okay, let's hear Belinda Carlisle, a little bit of 80s.
That was a place on earth.
You got it.
Sure.
Heaven, not the first. Women, heaven.
There's two parts in the clip where he just played where her voice gets husky, like it's when that came out, the Go-Go's were like, oh, we're done. She's got another hit under her belt.
I know, but I mean, I really like the Go-Go's.
I do like
Belinda
the Go-Go's.
On her own, not as much.
No. I like the Bangles better than the Go-Go's, though.
Well, I can see that.
I have an argument with people all the time about that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't have strong feelings enough about either to get into an argument about
there's
it.
There's a couple guys.
Anyone else on the plane.
There's a couple guys I hang out with down at the gas station.
Uh-huh, sure.
And we go round and round about this.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, Big Petey.
You go like round and round rat style. Sure. Sure.
Hey, what comes around goes around.
Right? That's right.
Belinda, too much facial surgery.
Hmm.
Don't do that.
It's weird when someone already kind of has a look like they might have had it and they didn't. And then when they enhance that look, it becomes plastic very quickly. What are you going to do?
Yeah, don't do it.
Won't be me.
Please don't.
Won't be me.
I'll call you out on it if you do.
Okay.
Like if I see you and you've had it done,
call me out.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go, ah!
Great. But then you'll need to explain what that is just in case I
and you go, what's wrong?
Yeah.
Did I, what, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like Courtney Cox right now.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's sad.
It's hard. It's a weird business for that, I think.
It is. And then when the dudes do it, I've told this many times. I'm going to tell you. You've never heard it.
Great.
I got Barry Manilow's autograph one night.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. I mean, an image popped into my head.
It looks like he cut off a Barry Manilow lookalike's face and just strapped it on.
Or like a wax, like when you see people who look like the wax museum
now,
version of themselves.
From where my seats were to stage, looked like Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
This close?
That's what they're counting on.
It looked like human skin pulled over a pelican's head. It was really bad. Let me tell you, I think you'll get a kick out of this. It was me and two women that were probably in their late 60s. That's it.
Yeah.
That's, how many is that? Me? Two women in there? How many? Tell us how many that is.
I think that's three.
That's three.
A lot or not a lot?
Yeah.
That's not a lot.
No, it's not.
Barry Manilow comes out with two bodyguards, and I said, hey, Barry, can we get a couple of signatures?
Uh-huh.
And Barry says, yeah, but I can't be doing this all night.
So are you saying that Barry thought this was a lot?
Barry thought
his
maybe the skin's pulled so tight that he can't see.
Mm-hmm. It just blurs.
When I saw him though, I felt bad for him that he felt that he had to do that.
Yeah.
He's already loved. People already love him.
I know.
Why would people do that?
I don't know.
Maybe to cover up that pelican beak.
Yeah. He probably felt like he was exposed with it. Okay, what's the next thing?
Janet can't wait to get out of here and eat something.
That,
are you going to drive through Carl's Jr. and get it?
Possibly. No, I can guarantee you.
He just played Earth, and you have
a
fire song or an air song.
Okay, so I do have another fire song. What was it? Oh, I forget what. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, these are both real snoozers. They're going to put me right to sleep with my low blood sugar. But they are two of my favorites.
Here's what we'll do: you play one more of these, whichever one you want.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll promote,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll play us out.
Okay, great.
With something that will wake you up.
I will put on The Clientele is one of my favorite bands. Although, that is an example, going back to the Shams, of a band that started out, this is a very old song from one of their first albums, and it's very gritty and sort of like, the music is not what you're expecting based on gritty.
Okay.
But you'll hear that it's like very, it's very analog.
Okay.
Is probably what I'm trying to say. And now they sound so crisp, I don't have the same response to it.
They sound like the Shams now.
Yeah. They're very British.
All right.
And they're very foggy evening, like we were talking
about.
All right,
let's hear it.
Feeling. They're just very British, but I really, I like the feeling of like it's foggy and the sun's going down. I really do.
You've played a lot of music tonight that I think the listeners are going to like. They're going to seek it out on the iTunes.
Great.
They're going to purchase it.
Perhaps they will.
I think they will.
I stand by it.
You've played a lot of music that the listeners are not going
to
like.
Played a lot of songs that people are going to say, why'd he play that?
And then I'm just going to give a shout out to my last one, which is Kings of Convenience, because I love them very much.
We do a thing where we say apologies to.
Apologies to Kings of Convenience that you didn't make it in with Gold in the Air of Summer, because it's a beautiful song. A la Simon. It's a very Simon and Garfunkel-y sounding song.
Well, that's funny, because I'm going to say apologies to Simon and Garfunkel for Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Oh, thank Perfect. God. I do not like that song Perfect. At all.
Well, okay, Kyle. Easy. You keep your opinions to yourself.
I'm sorry.
I really got angry. That song angry.
This is
it.
Never Not Fun. Also, apologies to friend of the show, Susanna Hoffs, and her band, The Bangles, for a song called How Is the Air Up There?
Great.
And real quick, where can we find you? You have a podcast. Tell us about your podcast. Where can we find it?
My podcast is called The JV Club. It is a podcast where it's me and one other person kind of talking about what their teenage years were like. It's usually really funny, sometimes a little emotional. It's very candid. It is on the Nerdist Network. You can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, everywhere you find your podcasts. And it comes out every Thursday. The one that came out today, as of this one being released, is this actress named Paula Marshall, who's fantastic. She's been on everything, but she's like Californication and a bunch of other stuff. She's been around forever, yet she also looks five. but anyway, yeah, you can check that out. Jimmy Pardo did an episode. Perhaps I'll have you on for my Boys of Summer series.
Yes, because it's always all girls, but then in the summer, this Boys past summer, you did Boys of Summer.
Mm-hmm, it was really fun.
Well, look, just because you did it, under no obligation to have me on for that.
Well, you know, I could just come in and like take you right to town. Just really just lay into you.
Would you make me cry? Is that what would happen?
Yeah,
would I cry?
Would. I'd ask people you the cry tough on questions. Wow. Once in a while.
Ask the tough questions.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. But yeah, that's a podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Janet Varney. You can find me at janetvarney.com. And there's stuff poking around, things that I'm working on, but you can probably find all that on the website.
It's very secret.
It's really not.
You're also the mom in the Judy Moody movie.
I was.
That was fun. That
was really fun.
That was cool.
That was fun. It was really fun.
You and Heather Graham.
Mm-hmm.
You and Roller Girl.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I thought about it.
Every time.
Like, maybe too much.
Oh, believe me, I did too.
Right? I mean, come on. Sure.
Yeah, I took my kids to see that movie, and then Heather Graham comes on, and I was like, oh, there's something for daddy.
Yeah. Terrible.
I know.
She's a beautiful body. That's all. Yeah. That's all we're going to say.
Up top, not and I don't mean up top boobs. I mean way up top brain. Mm. Little dim.
She's wonderful.
Doesn't mean she's not nice.
Yeah. Terrific.
You can find us at Rock Solid Show on Twitter. I have no idea why I didn't make it at Rock Solid Podcast.
I think it was too long.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
Let's hope it was, because every time I go, why didn't I make it Rock Solid?
I think it's like 20. I think 20 is the max characters.
I wanted to make it at Supercalifragilistic. Realidocious.
not going to work.
Couldn't get it.
Not
work. Couldn't get it. Also, like us on Facebook.
You can follow Kyle at Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Lover.com.
Lover.
Not .com. That's not Twitter.
That's way too many characters. It's really weird.
You're at Kyle Dotson Funny.
Yeah.
What? There's one word in there that I don't know. Should be in there. At? I'm at Pat_Francis, because God damn it if there's not a televangelist named Pat Francis.
Yeah.
She's a woman, and she's African-American. She's the exact opposite
of
me.
She really is in every way.
In every way.
Yeah.
Is she?
I do love the Lord.
Yeah.
What else do we want to promote? Oh, artwork. The artwork for today's episode.
I sent it to you.
Done by Aaron Fantastic. Gould. And when I asked him to do it, he goes, do I get to go on a date with Janet Varney? And I said, yes.
Okay.
Then he did it. Right. And then I went, no.
Oh, good one.
But
he changed his name to Chris.
Yeah. Then we can have a conversation.
So Chris Parnell is actually outside. He's waiting to take you to dinner.
Great. He's very talented.
He is very talented. I love Chris Parnell.
Also, voiceover work. Lots of it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are my people now.
Yeah. That's who you hang out with.
Yeah.
What else, Kyle? Anything else?
Call us and leave a message at 330-81-ROCKS. We might check it.
We might check it.
Never not fun.
Thank you, Andrew Rich, for writing the show notes every week. He's got a kid. I call him a kid. He's like 22. Does a killer job.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, Janet Varney, for being here. Thank you for signing all this stuff.
Of course. I really like this assignment. I thought it was great. I keep saying assignment as if it was something I get graded on. I don't know what grade I got. You can let me know offline or online. You can let me know here.
Put it this way: if it was like
apology, if it was an apology test, I got an A. I apologize for every song.
I know. Why'd you do that?
Because I've never done this before, and it just I felt like I had to explain.
It's cool.
My choices.
You should have just came out balls to the wall, like April Richardson does, and just say, "This is the killer jam of my world."
Yeah. Next
That's
time.
That's what she does. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I know that you. It's about 15 minutes past your dinner time, and about 20 minutes from your bedtime.
Yeah, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to fall asleep while driving, and I'll get into an accident
and eating.
Yeah. I'm going to play us out. Yeah. I'm going to play us. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No.
Go. Hey, you guys seem to be having a fucking conversation that I'm not privy to.
This is never not fun.
I'm going to play us out with the Rolling Stones, 1981's "Tattoo You." Let's hear a little bit of "Hang Fire."
Fantastic.
Thank you, Janet.
Thank you.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.